Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
And take your Bibles and open them to the book of Romans chapter 12. We have been in this 12th chapter because here at the beginning of chapter 12, we shifted gears, and instead of dealing just theologically with the gospel, now we're trying to live it out. And exactly as Marsan challenged us today, we're challenged to walk out the gospel. At the beginning of that chapter, grace lived out in us. We are to be living sacrifices. Then grace lived out in the church. We are to use our gifts. We are to be involved, and we are to cooperate one with another in the gospel going forth. And now we're talking about grace lived out toward others. Last week was our actions we are to take. And we walked through the beginning of this passage where it shifts gears into the actions. And now we come to verse 14 where we talk about our attitudes. Attitudes of response to the actions of others. And so today let's take a look at that. And let me say this. I want you to think about your attitude today, and I'm asking that we would leave here today with a new attitude, an attitude of blessing and an attitude of encouragement to those around us to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says about attitude. I love this statement that he makes. He says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude in life." Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past. It's more important than education. It's more important than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. So this passage today is about our attitudes. What type of attitude should we have? Let's read the passage. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'll read it. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to the end of the chapter. It says this, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Verse 20, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What should be our attitude, particularly towards others? Here's number one. They're just those blanks that are right there in your bulletin. Number one, we should be blessing. Just that word, we should be blessing others. The word bless comes from the idea to ask God to bless. It says in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you." Our normal reaction is to retaliate toward those that are persecuting us. But the scripture says to bless those who persecute you. And then it repeats it again and it says, "Bless and do not curse." For emphasis, the word bless is put there again. It's like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 where he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies. In Acts 7, he says, the scripture says this, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He says in the end of that verse there, in verse 14, bless and do not curse. Cursing is the natural thing to do. But what are we to be doing? We are to be blessing. We are to be blessing those around us. Not retaliating. I heard, I'll always remember this illustration. And my, it just so happens today, my sister and brother-in-law here, and Ken, you'll remember these circumstances. But years ago, when I was really before I was born, the church I grew up in the pastor there was Dr. Homer Lindsay Sr. Matter of fact, Dr. Lindsay Sr. preached a revival at North Central years and years ago. It was a great meeting. But the word got out to Dr. Lindsay that there was a man that would oppose him in something. You know, churches go through ups and downs, and sometimes there are pressures with the people, pressure with the pastor, and things like that. And the word was, I mean, First Baptist was a happy church. The church I grew up was a happy church. But in some of those early days, there was some pressure. And Dr. Lindsay Sr. got the word that someone was going to adamantly oppose him in something. You ever been opposed in something? You ever had conflict like that? Hey, it's inevitable. You're going to have it. Well, anyway, my Sunday school teacher was a young man at the time, and he was involved in the church, and he got a call from Dr. Lindsay because they were going to have a meeting. And my Sunday school teacher told me this story with tears in his eyes. He said, yeah, Dr. Lindsay called me, and I thought he was going to say to me, hey, this man is going to oppose me. I want you to stand against him and support me. You make sure he pays for opposing me. And with tears in his eyes, Howard Marshall told me that Dr. Lindsay Sr. called him up and said, Howard, there's a man that's going to oppose me in the meeting tonight. Would you make sure he's okay? Would you be an encouragement to him? I have never forgotten that. Because the natural tendency is to oppose and curse those who are against you or who will persecute you. And yet, the scripture says we are to be blessing. Hey, listen, being a person of blessing is a lot more freeing. Amen, church? Amen. It's a lot more freeing. Well, it's kind of a weak amen. I got some from the front here, but that's okay. It's a lot more freeing than being someone who is always retaliating. So the first thing I would say is this, be blessing. Bless those who persecute you. Be an encouragement to those who are difficult in your life. Number two, rejoicing. Be rejoicing. In verse 15, it says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoice. The word rejoice there means rejoicing with rejoicing people. It means gracing people. Hey, listen, be happy when someone else does well. That's an attitude that will just transform your life. You be encouraged when someone else is encouraged. When someone has an accomplishment, you rejoice with them. The third word is weeping. It says at the end of verse 15, weep with those who weep. The word weep means to cry. It means to lament. Sometimes it even means to wail. First of all, we should be aware of the condition of others. Marsan's right on when she says, you know, sometimes we come to church and, you know, the joke is always told about the family that has a knockdown drag out in the car or maybe even at home before they get in the car. You better be ready. You better get in this car. And you fight all the way to the church. You get in the parking lot. You open the door and someone says, how you doing? Says, we're doing great. You know, you smile. Now, we laugh at things that are sometimes true, don't we? Yeah, hey, I've been there. I know. We've all been there. But can I say this? We should be aware of the condition of others. We should sympathize and weep with them. Somebody said this I thought was powerful. Shared joy is double joy. Hey, when you succeed and I rejoice with you, shared joy is double joy. But listen to this. Shared sorrow is half sorrow. And ladies and gentlemen, church family, Christian believer, rather than piling on someone who's going through a difficult situation, or rather than ignoring someone going through a difficult situation, when you weep with those that weep, you are dividing the sorrow that they feel. That's what a church family ought to do. Amen? Be a good place for an amen right there. So you weep with those that weep. Number four, be humbling. Be humbling towards others. Or you be humble towards others. In verse 16 it says, be of the same mind toward one another. That's genuine unity. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The phrase there means think the same thing one to another. In other words, you're dealing with unity. Do not set your mind on high things. Do not be proud or thinking high things about yourself, is what the scripture is saying. Don't be too proud to not associate with people of low position. And don't be wise in your own opinion. Those wise in their own eyes are seldom wise in the eyes of others. You know, I heard this story about Muhammad Ali. I've always been a fan of Muhammad Ali. You know, he always said, I'm the greatest, you know. And he was rather, I think everyone would agree, he was rather cocky in his day about how good he thought he was. I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Well, the story was told that Ali was on a plane one time and he wouldn't fasten his seatbelt. And the lady, they put on the fasten seatbelt sign, and stewardess came by and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Ali, would you put on your seatbelt?" And he said, "Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." And the stewardess very quickly, with wit, said, "Superman doesn't need a plane either." Hey, listen. God has called us to have an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. Those who seem wise in their own eyes are seldom wise in the eyes of others. So, humbling. And then the last one is forgiving. As we look at the end of this passage, it says, repay no one evil for evil. Forgiving. Don't retaliate. Now, we know that there are institutions that will take care of these things in society. For example, we're going to learn in chapter 13, look at verse 4 if you're right there in Romans 13, 4. For he is God's minister, talking about the government or the leaders of the government, to you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. There's accountability in life. I'm not saying that everything ever done should be forgiven and no one pays any consequences. But listen, those are primarily the institutions God has established to create accountability in things. But you individually, listen, do not retaliate. Be forgiving. No one should repay evil for evil. This is pervasive in the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have the right to be an instrument of judgment in another person's life. Do you hear me on that? Because let me promise you, it makes it very clear in verse 19 that vengeance is mine. You know who's talking right there? God Almighty. Do you think God can make accounts right? I think he can. And so it's pervasive in the New Testament that we are to be forgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. You say, well, I'll show them. Or you say, wait till I get to them about it. Or I'll outsmart them. No, that's not an option. In verse 18, it says this, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as you can, as much as depends on you. Now, folks, listen, you can't control the actions of others, but you know what you can do? You can control your actions. You say, well, I was only 5% wrong. Well, then you own up. Look at me. You own up to your 5%. And you make things right. You live with a clear conscience. As much as you can, you have a clear conscience. You can't control everything. You may still be in discord with someone, but you do everything you know you should do to make it right. And then in verse 19, it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do not seek revenge. But then it says, but rather give place to the wrath of God. In other words, let God be the one who takes care of all accounts. He says in the scripture, and it's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. You know, when you are sweet to those who are ugly to you, it actually causes conviction to come upon those because you're not acting normal. Normal is to retaliate. And yet God uses forgiveness. In verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Some of you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was in Holland with her family. They were watchmakers in Holland, and they were hiding Jewish people in Holland from the Nazis, and they got caught, and they sent their family, and most of their family died in the concentration camps. That were controlled by the Nazis. Corrie and her sister Betsy went to Ravensbrück, and there at Ravensbrück, Betsy died. But Corrie got out when the concentration camps were liberated. She got out. She went back to Munich, Germany, in 1947, as a free woman sharing the gospel, and she was in Munich. And she was speaking in the basement of a church. And she looked in the back and she thought she recognized a German man. The more she looked, she realized that man was a guard at Ravensbrück. And she was speaking on forgiveness. And she said that when the meeting was over, everybody was filing out the back. And the man whom she had identified was coming against the crowd, against the people to the front. And she thought, oh, Lord, I have been speaking about forgiveness. What am I going to do? And this man came to her and he introduced himself and she wondered, does he recognize me? And it turns out he did not. There'd been so many Jewish prisoners and there's no way he would have remembered her, but she recognized him. And he came to her and he said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk today. I was a guard at Ravensbrück. She said, oh, you were. He said, yes, I was, and since that time, I have given my life to Jesus. I have turned away from all that I've done, and I want to tell you I am sorry for being a guard there where you were. Will you forgive me? And Corrie Ten Boom said that it felt like an eternity. She knows it was only for just a moment. But she said, as she in her will decided, I'm going to forgive this man in Jesus' name. She said it was like power came through her body, through her arm, and into her hand. And with warmth, she shook this man's hand. And with the power of God, she said, yes, my friend, I forgive you. I can promise you this. If you live in bitterness, I heard Lou Holtz, you know, the former coach at South Carolina and Notre Dame, he shared that some people are so angry and bitter that when they die, their wife has to pay six people to be pallbearers just to carry their casket to the grave. Hey, listen. if we don't get a handle on our attitudes, if we don't get a handle on obeying Scripture, folks, this is not up for debate. These are the attitudes that we are to have. We are to bless those who persecute us. We are to rejoice with the people in our world that rejoice. We are to bear the burden and weep with those who weep in our church fellowship, outside of our church fellowship, those that have heartache. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we are to forgive. And God gives and grants a level of freedom in life that you will never experience apart from having the attitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has challenged us to have today. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.